Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We see that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And so, here's the question. Have you failed the Lord? Have you faltered in some way? Have you denied Him? Maybe in word, maybe in deed? Now, of course, every single one of us, if we're honest, we would have to say to the question, have you failed the Lord? Yes, I have failed the Lord.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian concludes his series, Jesus Encounters. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19, as he examines an encounter between Jesus and those who falter. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So, okay, are you fond of me truly? That's okay. Jesus condescends to that place with him. And here we see, in this whole account, we see Jesus working out this restoration in the life of Peter. Now, what we have here is a restoration and a recommissioning. And those are two separate things. See, the restoration is to fellowship between the man and God. The recommissioning is a reappointing to service. And we can't confuse those two things, because if we do, we will find ourselves in trouble. You know, sometimes people put the big emphasis on what they're doing for God. You know, there are people that are ostensibly doing things for God, but their fellowship with God is completely down the tubes. They don't even have any real fellowship with God, but they're still doing a bunch of things. And they're kind of resting in that. Well, I'm doing all this stuff for God. Everything must be okay. But that's not necessarily the case. Jesus is first and foremost interested in personal restoration. And until there's personal restoration, there really is going to be no divine recommissioning. But the Lord has both things in mind, and we see that here with Peter. And so Jesus, having brought him through the restoration process, he then recommissions, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, this is what I've called you to do. My calling has not been withdrawn. My purposes for you have not been thwarted through your failure. Let's keep moving forward. And then he says to him, in that last part there, verse 18, now remember, Peter denies him under pressure and out of fear. But Jesus says to Peter, you know, in the future, you're going to have that same pressure that you had before. And it's going to be even more intense, because they're going to bind you and they're going to take you to where you don't want to go. Jesus is describing to Peter, you're going to die for your faith in me in the future. You denied me back then because you were afraid, but the future is you're going to actually give your life, but you follow me. And so Jesus gives him that word, you know. It's like he's saying, the past is the past. I'm removing that. But when we come to the future, I want you to be faithful. I want you to follow me. Now, what we see in this, as I've already said, and what we've drawn out of all of these different teachings, is the application for us today. And just as Peter faltered, there are many that have faltered. Many in the church, many of God's people. I would venture to say that there are thousands of people in this very county that we live in who today are no longer in fellowship, they're no longer serving the Lord because they've faltered, they've fallen, they've sinned, and they've thought there was no way back. They thought there was no mercy. They didn't think that the Lord would extend a gracious hand to them, and maybe they've just succumbed to the lie of the devil, or maybe there have been other people that have sort of helped perpetuate that. Whatever the case, I am certain that there are many that would be in a similar place. And of course, we all falter to some degree, right? So we all need to know the heart of Jesus toward the faltering saint. We all need to know what the Lord, what his reaction is to us when we fail. And here's what we need to know, or remember, first of all. We need to remember this. Jesus knows all our faltering before it ever happens. Our failings are not a surprise to him. Remember, Jesus is the one who told Peter, this is what you're going to do. Peter was the one who said, no, I'm not. Jesus says, you are going to deny me. So none of this takes the Lord by surprise. You know, maybe you've failed. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe you've sinned. Maybe it's been severe. And maybe there you sit and you're, you know, just the thought of any like real total restoration or even a recommissioning to you is like, you know, that's never going to happen. And you just keep beating yourself over and over. And Lord, I let you down and I can't believe I disappointed you. And oh God. And you know what? Do you think the Lord did not know any of that before it ever happened? Of course he did. He did, obviously. He knew that with Peter. He was the one who said, you would deny me. But I want to take it a step back further. Jesus chose Peter knowing full well that all of these things were in his future. Jesus handpicked Peter and said, come, follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to be my servant. You're going to be my apostle. You're going to be the one that I'm going to send out, knowing full well that Peter would stumble in the process. But it didn't stop the Lord, because he knew he would stumble, but he knew that he would rise again as well. Jesus had said to Peter, Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, he said, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. When you are restored, strengthen your brothers. Jesus knew. And he told Peter, but he promised, I'm praying for you. And when you are restored, undoubtedly, this is the very thing that Jesus was talking about when he told Peter that. That Satan desired to sift him as wheat. And Peter gave in to that pressure, and he did deny the Lord. But Jesus knew that through his grace and through his prayer that Peter would rise again. The heart of Jesus is always full of mercy toward his faltering ones. We have got to know that. We've got to know that for ourselves, and we've got to know that in our dealings with other people. Because like I've already said many times, you know, we don't know that. We don't think that that's the case. And not only do we fail to receive and apply God's grace in our own lives, but you know, maybe we're not a person who's faltered at this present time and somebody else has, and the thought of extending grace and mercy to them, that's not in our thinking process. We think, oh no, you know, no, God, you know, it's time for God's judgment to come down on them. But you know, that's not our decision. We see here the Lord's heart. Now, again, I want to go back to Peter, and I want to go back to the earliest moments after his failure. So he denies the Lord these three times. He sees Jesus. They lock eyes. Jesus goes off to be crucified. And then what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. Now, for the next few days, I mean, just try to imagine the anguish in the soul of Peter. Peter was probably just sitting over in a corner by himself, just with his head in his hands. And, you know, I don't think he was engaging. I mean, obviously there was all the confusion about the death of Jesus, what happened. But then Peter's got this additional thing on him. Like, I let the Lord down. I denied him. But, you know, Jesus begins the restoration process with Peter very early into this situation, because when Jesus rises from the dead and the women come to the tomb and the angels are there to give them, you know, instruction, he's not here, he's risen just as he said. Then they said this, the angel said to the women, go tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. Ben, think about that. So the women come back to the place where the disciples are gathered, and they're saying, the Lord's risen. And this angel told us that the Lord's going to go to Galilee, and he wants everybody to know. And oh, by the way, he specifically said to tell Peter. You know, maybe at this point, those women didn't have any idea what had really happened. They didn't know. But Peter knows. And Jesus is already extending that little offering out to Peter. Tell Peter, Jesus is the one who initiates this restoration of Peter. He seeks him out and he restores him. And that is what the Lord does for those who have fallen. And as I've said, he restores and he recommissions. Those are the goals of Jesus for his fallen servants. Like I've already said, and I want to emphasize again, Jesus is for us. He's for our restoration. He's for our recommissioning into something. He is for that. And he's first and foremost for the restoration. I want to make a distinction between the two things. You see, the most important thing is that we be restored to our fellowship with him, right? That's the most important thing. Sometimes people aren't getting these two things in their proper order. I have seen a lot of pastors fail over the years. And unfortunately, too many times when a pastor has failed, their you know, big ambition is to get back into the position they were in before they failed. You know, a pastor commits adultery and they lose their church and all of those kinds of things happen. And sometimes, and unfortunately more times than not, you see that there's a big, you know, effort toward getting back. I got to get back into the ministry. I got to preach again and I got to teach God's word. And that's why, you know, and there's all of this kind of effort to do that. But sometimes there's not the effort to really get reconciled to Jesus by really repenting. But see, before there's the recommissioning of Peter, there's the repentance of Peter that Jesus brings out in that questioning. Do you love me? Well, Lord, you know that I'm fond of you. That's Peter's repentance. He's taking responsibility for his actions. And that's what we all must do. When we failed the Lord, you know, the best thing anybody could ever do when they fail the Lord is just simply say, Lord, I failed. Instead of, well, Lord, you don't understand. You know, there somebody else actually kind of, you know, we need to put the blame over somewhere else. Remember two people in the Old Testament who failed God? One was named Saul, the other was named David. You look at Saul and David, they both failed God in pretty severe ways. And the prophet came to Saul and called him on his failure, and Saul says, it's not my fault. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much what he said. It's not my fault, it's the people. The people were the one. I was just doing what the people said. So Saul takes no responsibility. And he has no restoration in his relationship with God. David commits horrible sin, the sin with Bathsheba. The prophet comes to him and calls him on his sin, and David says, I've sinned. I've sinned. It's me. I am guilty before God. You see, that's the big difference. That's what changes everything. When we fail, the first step, of course, Jesus extends, like I said, that olive branch to us right away, but our response has to be taking responsibility. Yes, Lord, I have failed. Peter, do you agape me? No, Lord, I don't. I phileo you. See, he's taking the responsibility. He's acknowledging the sin, but that's what brings about the restoration. See, that's what happens. And that's where everything begins again. When the restoration takes place, then the recommissioning can also occur. And this is up to God. You know, I have heard people say, and I've thought through this a lot myself, again, just using an illustration that we're unfortunately too familiar with, but a pastor who, you know, falls to adultery or something like that. The question is, can they ever be restored to that position again? And you know, I don't think there's one pat answer for that. I think what you have to do is you have to look at, first of all, is there genuine repentance? And then secondly, what is God saying in this? Because it would be easy, and I know that I have thought this thing myself, it would be easy just to say, no, you know, they've done this, and therefore that's it. They're done with that. And that might be true, but it might not be true. Because it comes down to what, you know, God is going to do something that is his thing, even if it doesn't make sense to us necessarily at times. Somebody some years ago gave me a book, and the book is written on the subject of, you know, pastors who fall into sin and particularly adultery. And the question the book addresses is, you know, can a pastor be restored? And the conclusion of the book is no. The book is called The Stain That Remains. And, you know, they conclude, and understandably to some degree, that, you know, this is just one of those things that sort of disqualifies you from this ministry in the future. And, you know, as much as I, in some ways I would understand that and, you know, have a tendency to agree with it, in other ways I would say if I'm going to be scriptural about it, I'd have to say, no, we can't draw that conclusion. That's something that God himself reserves for himself. And let me ask you this. Do you think that Peter had any hope that he'd be able to continue in his calling as an apostle? I don't think he did, because Peter denied Jesus. And Jesus said, and Peter had heard him say numerous times, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Oh man. I don't think there was any hope in Peter's mind at all. Now, I think he hoped in God's mercy that he would be forgiven and be able to be, you know, in favor with God again. But I don't think for a minute Peter thought, you know, we're going to get through this and, you know, I'm going to go back to my apostleship. I don't think he thought that. I think Peter thought, man, I denied Jesus. I swore with an oath that I didn't even know him. I'm done. I think Peter probably thought that. And even if he didn't think that entirely, I'm sure of this, Satan would be right there whispering in his ear to try to snuff out any hope whatsoever. But you see, Jesus did not only restore Peter to fellowship, he recommissioned him to service. And this is the thing, God, it's his prerogative to do that if he chooses to do it. But of course, when God does it, the repentance will precede the recommissioning. God doesn't take people who are still in their sin, and if you're denying your sin, then you're actually still in it. He doesn't take those people and put them back in a place. Now, sometimes people get themselves back into that place, but it just goes from bad to worse at that point. But when there's a genuine repentance, like we see with Peter, then there is, as we also see with Peter, a full restoration. We see that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And so, here's the question. Have you failed the Lord? Have you faltered in some way? Have you denied him? Maybe in word? Maybe indeed. Now, of course, every single one of us, if we're honest, we would have to say to the question, have you failed the Lord? Yes, I have failed the Lord. But, you know, there are levels of severity, right? So, you know, we would all have to admit that, yes, to some degree, we failed the Lord. But then others would have to say, no, I really failed the Lord. No, I sinned. I did this knowing full well what I was doing. And, you know, like Peter, no, I denied Jesus. And as a result of that, perhaps you've thought that there's no hope for future blessing or fruitfulness. Like Peter, perhaps you find it just impossible to believe that God could ever really use you again. But I want you to think again about that, because this is the way of Jesus with those who falter. And the message of God's grace is that there is an unlimited supply of grace for those who receive it through repentance, for those who take responsibility and just say, Lord, I have sinned, or Lord, I'm fond of you. No, I don't. I wish I could say that I love you with that intense love, but Lord, I can't. But for that person, for that broken person, for that heart that acknowledges, then there's just an endless supply of God's grace that comes to do for us what we might not even imagine being possible, that we would be brought back into that beautiful fellowship, and that we would even be allowed to go out and serve the Lord again. And I can tell you today that I know people in that category. People that on the one hand, you would look at a certain point in their lives and say, man, they are done. That is it. It's over. There's no way they're going to go forward again after this. But then to see the work of God's grace in their life and the true repentance that comes, and to see God actually moving them once again, recommissioning them, calling them to go and to be fruitful for him. And so I want to close with just this reminder that this is the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is always to work toward our restoration and our recommissioning. And the recommissioning might be different than it was previously, but there's still that opportunity to go forward in service to Christ in some way as he would lead. But we need to know that. We need to know that for ourselves, but we also need to know it for other people, because we're going to run into all kinds of people as we go through life who have failed. And because they didn't understand God's grace, or it wasn't extended toward them, or whatever reason, that failure has driven them away. And it's driven them to the conclusion that there is no longer any hope, but that isn't true. And we can tell them it isn't true, and we can point them to John chapter 21 and say, hey, look at this. Look what Jesus did for the man who denied that he even knew him. He forgave him and restored him. And Peter went on, as we all know, to great things in his future. The first one to really publicly proclaim the gospel on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day, and becomes a pillar in that early church. He writes two of the epistles. And of course, we all know, everybody almost knows, anybody who knows the name of Jesus also knows the name of the Apostle Peter. And we know that he was a man who failed, but we also know that he was a man who was a recipient of God's grace and was restored. And the story of Peter is a story of anyone who has failed but will repent.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So this month's book is Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, and it's by Paul David Tripp. And Brian, I know that you really enjoy the writing of Paul David Tripp.
I do, and Paul is, he's a great writer, and he's become a friend, and I just really appreciate him. And this book, Paul's written many books, and this is one of his most popular books. And the subtitle is People in Need of Change, Helping People in Need of Change. So the emphasis in this book is on body ministry, on Christians ministering to one another. I think this is just a fantastic book, and I think it's going to be very helpful for people to know that God has gifted you and God has called you, and he will enable you to minister to others. And so we encourage you to pick up your copy of Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp.
That's this month's resource on Back to Basics. You can order the book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, to help you discover where change is needed in your own life and the lives of others. It's our way to say thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we begin a new series in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.